ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 15 द किलिंग ऑफ धेनुका द एस डीमन टेक्स्ट 22। फलानि तत्र भूरिणि पतन्ति पतितानि च सन्ति किन्त वरुद्धानि धेनुकेन दुरात्मना। फलिनि तत्र भूरिणि पतन्ति पतितानि च सन्ति कित्वर्वरुद्धानि धेनुकेन दुरात्मना। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: In that Talwan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees, and many are already laying on the ground. But all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Dhenuka. Purport: The demon Dhenuka would not allow anyone to eat the delicious ripe palm fruits of the Talwan. And Krishna's young friends protested this unjust usurpation of the right to enjoy the fruits of a public forest. Hare Krishna. So we seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here so that we can just speak something to glorify the Lord and for our purification. So this section of Dhenuka Sura has been going on, where in this verse, Dhenukena Duratmana, Duratmana, the evil one, and this evil thing was becoming very possessive, obsessed, not allowing anybody to use it. So this tendency is a very demonic tendency, obsession for things, for oneself, and not sharing it with anybody. And we see in the today's time that how as Kali is making advancement, this tendency is becoming all pervading, like very difficult to share things. And they like to share only on the Facebook something, but in real terms to share, it's very painful. People are losing the habit of that. Culture is going away actually, like there is no charity of food much. Like previously in India, hardly there would be any restaurants because it was unheard that somebody will sell the food. Because food is always given in the charity. And when this person, I think from Huyen Sang, came from China, so he was going to different villages and cities and towns. And wherever he is going, he's seeing how people are so happy and nobody is hungry. And you know, like, because the Vedic culture is that before a person eats, he actually call for somebody to offer the food, you know, like that. And so this culture was inbuilt in our civilization, Vedic civilization, where things are always shared and given, and because it leads to the, you know, further things of then sacrificing at a higher level, because at least we can begin with sacrificing what we're eating, and then we can sacrifice other, our properties, our time, our, you know, everything, all the possessions. But this demonic mentality of becoming very much obsessed for the possessions, it's actually lead to cruelty. And it can be seen very much in the scriptures also. It comes in the life of not only these hardcore demons like Dhenukasura, even like people who are trying to become devotees, sadhaka, even like if you read life of demigods, this tendency can be seen. Like this beautiful episode of when Brihaspati entered Indra's assembly and Indra just didn't pay attention to him. In one way, he was cruel, if you say in a very gross way, because he forgot his own etiquettes. And result of that, he lost everything. Brihaspati didn't do anything. He just went away from that place. Because the laws of this world acts, you know, The principles are same for everybody. And the same principle when demons apply in their life by worshipping their guru, so they got everything. So, and then Indra and all the demigods, they were very much miserable. They were thinking what to do now. So they approached Brahma. What should be done? We lost everything. First, Brahma chastised them, and then he said, okay, now you can approach Vishwarup. And you can make him your spiritual master, because Brihaspati was not available only to even beg forgiveness. He just hid himself. So they approached him, and it's a beautiful description that how they, appreciated him. They requested him that, we are like your father and parents, and you should just listen to us and this and that. Because whenever they want to do something, they want to get it. So Vishwarup accepted their request, and he started doing on their behalf the priest service. But when Brahma had told them to ask this service from Vishwarup, he had told him, approach Vishwarup and accept him as your guru. And please him by your worship, and then he will fulfill your desires. But one thing he told him, provided you tolerate his being inclined to side with the demons. Because the problem was, Vishwarup's mother was from demon side and his father was from demigod side. So Vishwarup had some inclination, or rather a lot of inclination, for his mother side also. So Vishwarup was putting some oblations for demons also when he was doing the yajna. And when Indra came to know, now already he has done one mistake of disrespecting his guru, Brihaspati. Now he became so insecure. This is the result of when we have too much obsession for having something or fear of losing something. It's like both together. When we are too much obsessed, only we have the fear of losing that thing. He became so obsessed that even a normal person would get a shock of his life. Like, we were reading Bhagavatam with some devotees, and when we read this, so some of the devotees started asking that, how can somebody do like this, that he came and cut the three heads of his spiritual master. Three heads he had, Vishwarup, not an ordinary person. And he cut all of them. So this is a very much can be seen in life of various personalities. If you read Dhruva Maharaj section, if not exactly cutting the head, another kind of cruelty comes into picture. When Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on the lap of his father, Uttanapada, as a small child, that was his birthright, to sit on the father's lap. So Suruchi became really very cruel, and so cruel that she even went on to telling that you die and you take birth from my womb, then we will see about it, then you can think about it even. You can't even think about it now. And Uttanapada, although he was okay, like he was inclined that Dhruva can sit on his lap, but many times even if good feelings are there, but if they are not supported by right determination and detachment, it's difficult to execute those good feelings or good thoughts also. So he just was, torn apart between Suruchi and Dhruva, and not much, but actually he just favored Suruchi. And he didn't say anything, and because he didn't say anything, it means, sometimes silence also like you're favoring somebody. So because of that, Uttanapada also became very cruel to Dhruva. And when somebody becomes cruel, so naturally the worst comes out if person is not given proper direction. In today's time, like lot of people around, those who are not taken properly, their care is not taken properly, like even the small children or even the in the relationship, if somebody is not taken care properly, means not proper attention is given, rather somebody is cruel to them. And if they are not given the right knowledge at the right time and right emotional support, so the worst comes out. So Dhruva was actually in the situation where worse was coming out of him. His lips were quivering and he was shaking, and he was just about to do anything in life. Like, special mercy on him that he had a mother like Suniti, and Suniti really took nice care of him, gave a lot of emotional support, first empathized with him that, I can understand your pain. And then she just didn't lament. She actually said that lamentation is not much value, because we have to really face the fact And the fact is that I am not dear to the king. And you are my son, so you also bear the same kind of karma with me. You have to share that karma. Or you have your own karma, whatever. So, and then she actually gave the right knowledge that time that we should not think of bad of somebody who has done bad to us. And like that, so many things she talks about. But the point is that this cruel nature came out. And because of his cruelty, he would have just become completely disturbed child. But by Suniti's effort, he was saved. So this cruelty, you can see in many places. Even Uttanpa shared this with Narad Muni, you know. Like when Narad Muni comes back after preaching to, or after giving instructions to Dhruva Maharaj, he comes back to meet Uttanpa. And Uttanpa shares with Narad Muni. He said, because I was very much addicted to my wife, and I have become so fallen that I have abandoned all kind of merciful behavior. So this, there is no wonder in today's time why merciful behavior is not seen, because people are too much obsessed with the material things. Until the time that obsession is there, it's very difficult to see the mercy. Because mercy comes into picture when we think about another person, another person's welfare. And when person is self-absorbed, self-obsessed, so how can he think of somebody else? That's why, like in Ramanujacharya's pastime, this Kuresh, such a great devotee, he actually would give charity. He was a big, Kura is a village, one of the village, and Isham is like, he was like a jamidar of that village, that area. And he had so much wealth. Many people have wealth, but what he was doing with his wealth is every day, morning to evening, he would give charity. And in the evening when the door would close, you know, a big sound would come. And once Lakshmi Devi asked Pujari that in Kanchipuram that what this sound is coming, you know. She asked Varadaraj, what is this sound coming? And he said, this is my devotee Kuresh. He actually gives charity whole day and in the night he closes the door. So she said, oh, I would like to have a darshan of such a great devotee. So Pujari heard this conversation between the Lord and his consort. And he informed Kuresh that Lord want to see you, Lakshmi want to see you. So instead of becoming proud, Kuresh was thinking, what is this? Lord want to see me because of my wealth. I'm becoming puffed and proud because of this. Better I just give up everything and become completely nishkinchina. And he actually just gave up everything. And with his wife, with nothing, they started walking in the forest towards their guru. On the way, wife started revealing her heart. She said, I'm just feeling a little scared of thieves here because we don't know, we are in the dark forest, something may happen. He said, you're feeling fearful of thieves? We have given up everything now, we don't have anything. You're carrying something? She said, I didn't carry anything for myself, but at least to feed you some food, as a wife, I have to carry some bowl, you know, with me. So one golden bowl I have. So he said, okay, give me. He took that bowl and threw it long, you know. He said, now fear has gone, come. Now, it is very easy to speak this story. I'm not talking that we can be on this platform, but at least by glorifying these devotees and at least by discussing these things, we can understand the dynamics that how actually fear goes away. Till the time we have the obsession or possessions or attachment, it will be there. And we can accept that, you know, be humble about it and pray to the Lord. Even Dhruva Maharaj, later on when he became king, you know, he came back from the tapasya, he got darshan and he became king. And his stepbrother was killed by the Yakshas. Again, if you read there, very interesting thing. Now, if you see from one point of view, Dhruva Maharaj has already, like, has seen the Lord, his pure devotee, and still, in this world, principles are always acting, you know. We have to be very careful. When he started fighting with those Yakshas, he became so obsessed with that fighting that he started killing in wholesale. And Swayambhu Manu had to intervene. He said, my dear son, please stop. It is not good to become unnecessarily angry. You're going beyond the limit, he said. You're going beyond the limit. Now again, this is the fortune of Dhruva Maharaj because he had this support system, you can say, in his life, or such great souls who had love for him. And he was also ready to listen from them. So when immediately Dhruva Maharaj stopped, you know, yeah, really, I'm going out of the way. So this obsession, many times it can be like KK life, if you see. It's a very interesting, in Ramayana I have many chapters about this. I know I don't have so much remembrance also and time also now. But if you read how the transition took place, same Kekai, who was so loving to Ram and Dashrath and ready to do anything for them, she became so cruel to both of them, especially to Dashrath. Because towards Ram, the like Ram didn't give her opportunity only to show her cruelty. Because as soon as Ram came to know that Kekai wants this, she said, why you want to tell through my father? You should have told me. You know, you don't have faith in me. So he didn't give any opportunity. He just immediately accepted. But Dashrath was, you know, falling and fainting and dying. And he even said, I reject you. I leave you. You just get lost from my sight. And she was not getting affected at all by all these things from his. And you know, the relation between Dashrath and Kekai was very, very intense, very intimate, actually, among all the queens of Dashrath. But this became too so cruel. You know? Like Prabhuji Ramanandanpu tells many stories, actually, even in the today's time, how they become cruel to each other. And I don't want to tell those stories here, but if you can hear from him. So many stories in the, like, these big rich people and they, how they become cruel to each other. Like one story I told once, I remember a little bit of that, that like the wife wants a divorce from the husband and like she wants really major chunk, you know, more than the half. The husband wants to, thinking that instead of paying her so many crores of rupees, because to kill it takes only 51,000 rupees in Bombay. You know, it's not a big amount. So he was thinking, well, she came to know, so she's keeping the bodyguard and the husband is also keeping the bodyguard. And, you know, like they're living in the same house, but both are keeping the bodyguards, you know, like that. So what kind of cruelty can come out because of these things? So that's why we understand our fortune of being in touch with the devotees and this philosophy, that at least we can realize that what's going on, you know, what's wrong here. Otherwise, things may become very difficult to appreciate, you know, like that. This spiritual life, people are not able to appreciate because they don't realize the importance of it. It can go to any extent. Like this past time, we were reading, like some time back, Soma, he performed this Rasu Yagya, and he became very proud. And he kidnapped Braspati's wife, you know. Braspati is the guru of all the demigods. And he kidnapped Tara. And not only that, he kidnapped, Braspati actually was pleading to him. He said, don't do this. Even if you kidnapped, now release her. No problem. Again and again, he was saying. But he didn't listen only due to false pride. And it went on to have a big fight. And actually, he joined the demons. He joined the demons. And demons support, he started fighting with Braspati and Shukracharya also came to support of Soma because Shukracharya has a problem with Braspati. And all the demigods on Braspati's side and all the demons are on Soma's side. And there's a big fight, killing each other. And it's a long story, you know, like, but you can read that. It's very interesting. So this is the what. So this cruelty is there. If you read the life of Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was very cruel, actually. And it's not very much discussed about it, because many times we only talk about Duryodhan. But actually, if you see, he was an equal or even more share in the cruelty. Because he had all the powers. He had all the, say, when he was king. But still, he was not doing anything. Rather, when he became very insecure, because when Pandavas learned all the archery and everything, they started actually conquering neighboring kingdoms, and by their behavior, everybody was becoming very much attracted to them. So Dhritarashtra was becoming very insecure, and he calls this person Kanik. And this Kanik Niti is, you know, very, very famous in politics point of view, that how Kanik advises him very cruel things, that how he should just wait for the right time for the enemy to be killed. When you are not in power, talk very sweetly to him, and when you are in power, just don't care, just kill him, everything like that. So many things he talks about. And then at the same time, Duryodhan and Shakuni and Dushasan and Karna, they were also becoming insecure. So Duryodhan also approached to the Dhritarashtra that we should do something about it. Because what will happen, that Yudhishthira will become king, then his son will become king, and then his son will become king. Same thing in the KK case also. Mantra created a similar kind of insecurity. That if Ram becomes the king and Kaushalya becomes the Rajmata, then you're finished. Who will take care of you? Your son will not be taken care, his son will not be taken care, and you will be lost for nothing. And immediately the insecurity was created in our mind. So Dhritarashtra already was cruel, and now on top of that, Duryodhana is also supporting him. And then they convinced him that somehow we'll send them to faraway place And then we'll try to win the heart of all the citizens and ministers, give a lot of gifts and everything. Everything will be in our control. And if possible, we'll kill them also. Because if we kill them now here, then politics means like, you know, a rebel may come from the citizens. So they were very intelligent, actually. They were not behaving in a wrong move. Very intelligently. So they sent them a Varnavrat, made a beautiful, beautiful house of lakh. And sending also not, it didn't happen just like that. He just sent them. It was a big propaganda. Dhritarashtra had people appointed who was talking glories of that place, Varnavrata. That how it's so beautiful, it's the place to visit, and it's a place for enjoyment. And then when enough advertisement was done, and Pandavas were really attracted to that place, Dhritarashtra called them. Oh, I'm feeling you should have some holidays, you should go there, you should have good time. And they were sent. And there, all of us know that how they were plotting to burn them alive. But by Vidura's mercy, Vidura came to know everything. And he arranged the tunnel and they ran from that place. And they got saved, actually. So this theme comes again and again. And even if somebody, some demonic person or sometimes these demonic tendencies makes us realize that we are not in control, still, it's very difficult to surrender to the Lord. You know, like I was reading this section of Shishupal, Rukmani and Krishna, you know, like Rukmani's marriage basically. So Rukmani marriage was supposed to take place with Shishupal. And then Rukmani sent the letter to Krishna requesting him that please come and kidnaps me. So Shishupal is there and all the kings were there and Krishna comes on his chariot. And when Rukmani is returning back from the temple, he just very easily kidnaps her, put her on his chariot, and runs. And all the kings were already fainting because by seeing the beauty of Rukmani, by the time they realized that Rukmani has gone, you know, it's too late, then they started running. And they were big fight and everything, and completely defeated. Krishna completely defeated all of them, especially Shishupal. And then if you read there, it's very beautiful section. All the friends of Shishupal, they come and tell Shishupal, don't be disgraced, Shishupal. You are belonging to the royal order. You're the chief amongst the fighters. You know, this encouragement we can see in the outside world also, you know, materialistic world, that how people encourage each other never to give up because we have to do something great in the material world. And then I'll just read this from the Krishna book. There is no question of distress of happiness for a person like you because neither of these conditions is everlasting. Take courage. Good philosophy, eh? Very powerful philosophy from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But you will see how it will end. Don't be disappointed by this temporary reversal. Same Bhagavad Gita philosophy which comes in the Sthit Pragyas Bhasha section, you know, that how the great soul, perfected being, doesn't get affected by the reversals, he just continues on his path. After all, we are not the final actors as puppets dance in the hands of a magician. We are all dancing by the will of the Supreme. And according to his plan alone, we suffer distress or enjoy happiness. We should therefore be equipoised in all circumstances. Now, till this point is okay. Even to the point the Supreme will, something is happening. But there's no question of taking shelter of that Supreme or surrendering to the Supreme and following the will of that Supreme. Only thing is like, this is just to understand like, what is the difference between this person and a devotee? A devotee, in his life also when reversal comes, the difficulties come, the problem comes, he actually understands that I am not the doer. And he actually takes shelter to the Lord. Because that culmination should take place in surrendering to the Lord. It's not that things are not happening sometime because of my way. It will happen in future my way. So it just makes us same platform only because these people never surrender to the Lord. Rather, they were encouraging, this is not a good time for you. Some other time, we can make it. Jarasandha, I think, was talking like, I have been defeated 17 times, but you know, 18 times I defeated. You know what happened. So like that, they talk about it and it doesn't lead to the actual surrender. Because that comes only when person takes humble position and he gets the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. This Satrajit story, if you see how he was obsessed. Satrajit has this Samantaka jewel. And this Samantaka jewel he got from worshipping sun god. And sun god, when he gave him this Samantaka jewel, when he would wear it, he would be so effulgent, it would appear as if sun god has come personally. And when he would worship it, it would give every day 170 pounds of gold. It's a very big amount of gold. And there would be no famine around, 170 pounds of gold. And he would wear it, roam around, just to show, you know, how special I am. Once he came to Dwarka also, Krishna requested him, you give it to, you know, king. Best thing should be given to the king. Actually, indirectly, Krishna maybe wanted to say that, give it to God, you know, give it to the representative of God. He didn't listen. He was too attached to it. And his brother Prasena, he also wanted to show off. He wore it one day, went into the forest on a horse, and he was attacked by a lion, killed, and money was taken by lion. And then Jamvan saw it. Jamvan killed the lion, and he took the money and gave his son to play. Now here in the Dwarka, in this area, when Satyaji didn't find the money, he thought, you know, maybe Krishna has taken it, he has killed my brother, he started spreading rumors. Such a nonsense, you see. Such a nonsense. He said Krishna has taken the money and he has killed my brother. And Krishna, you know, he said, we have to do something about it. Krishna actually went to the forest, he found this Prasena, he found this lion, and then he came to know, you know, later on that how this lion can be killed only by Jamvan. So he, when he went there near Jamvan's cave, he found that a small child playing with that money. And as soon as the child and the there was a lady who was taking care of the child, they shouted and Jamvan came. And Jamvan started fighting with Krishna. Again, if you see, Prabhupada writes there that in the beginning, Jamvan could not understand Krishna because his vision was obscured by material attachment. He was attached to the boy and he was attached to the jewel. Later on, when they started fighting, and Krishna also liked to fight with his devotees also sometime. So Krishna was, you know, giving a good, Jamvan was giving a good fight to Krishna. And in that fight, Krishna became very pleased. And indirectly by doing this service, what happened? Jamvan realized that I am having such powers, but I am not able to do anything for Krishna. I am not able to defeat Krishna at all. It means he is definitely the Supreme Lord. Then he realized actually. And then he offered beautiful prayers which are given. And then actually it's the same hands which were like thunderbolt to Jamvan when Krishna was hitting on Jamvan as a fight. Now Krishna started patting, you know, with lotus palm strokes. And again the whole body of Jamvan which was paining became completely relieved from the fatigue. This is Lord. When you come in touch with the Lord, you know, same Lord can be very harsh also, very heavy also, and same Lord can be very relieving also. So then he became very much happy and immediately offered the Shamantaka jewel because Krishna explained the whole thing that how because of this jewel I am becoming very much, you know, infamous. And then he even gave her his daughter also, Jambati. And when he came, Ugrasena called for a meeting, everything was explained, Satyajit was feeling very bad. Now this is the point which I was trying to say. Now Satyajit realized that he has done some mistake, but Krishna gave him some intelligence because of his repentance. So he thought, now let me give my daughter as a wife to Krishna. And he gave his beautiful daughter Satyabhauma, and with that gave Shyamantaka jewel also. So Krishna took the daughter and gave the Shyamantaka jewel back. Why? Prabhupada writes there later on that actually Satyajit had no desire to give the jewel. And that's why Krishna gave it back. And he took it also. There a little. He keep it back. And later on, he had to face his death because of that jewel. He already lost his brother. And then Shatadhana and Kritavarma and, you know, Akrura, all of them made some conspiracy. And Shatadhana actually killed Satyajit because Satyajit has been promising many people to give his daughter. But later on, he gave it to Krishna. So they were very envious of him. They killed him. So this kind of things are there, and this keep repeating in the scriptures. But the intelligent people, they actually always want to follow the path of dharma. They don't get carried away by these kind of things, and that's why they are very much appreciated and glorified all the time. Like we have been discussing in the Brahmachari class also. So thus we had been told that how Krishna actually, when he claims himself to be Rasraj, so then living entity actually becomes relieved to enjoy. Not to enjoy, it's not for me. You know, if Krishna is the reservoir for all pleasure, so I'm not supposed to enjoy. Even a sadhaka, when he gets this knowledge, it becomes very easy to just focus on serving the Lord. But then the question comes that Krishna doesn't want to enjoy these pleasures of this world. It's too low for him. So the devotee is explaining that then living entity may say, okay, then it's okay, then nobody enjoying, I can enjoy. Krishna anyway doesn't want it. So Krishna says, no, you are part of me. And if you are part of me, you are not meant for this enjoyment. You are meant for higher enjoyment. And that's why Krishna mercifully comes. He performs his pastimes. He gives his instructions. He sends his devotees. He appeals all of us, you know. He shows through the life of his devotees that how in any circumstance, they don't give up the dharma. Like Bhishma Dev, when he was lying on the bed of arrows, and the Pandavas came to see him, Bhishma Dev is saying, oh, aho kashtam, oh anyayam, what kind of tribulation and trials you people have undergone, although Krishna was at your side, the Dharmaraj Yudhishthira is with you. So from a spiritual point of view, dharmic point of view, the best people, you know, Dharmaraj and Krishna, and material point of view, Arjuna and Bhima, who can fight with Arjuna and Bhima? But still, you have to face so many reversals. But Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya, because you have always taken shelter of Vipra, Brahman, and Dharma, and Achyuta, Krishna, that's why there is no cause for lamentation for you. Why are you lamenting that, you know, so many people are killed and this and that? There is nothing inauspicious which can happen from you, because you are always taking shelter of Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. This is a very important thing, like this Sunday, beautiful, you know, very moving description of Mother Isha, which Niranjan Swami Maharaj was telling us. It gives us faith that if we take shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta, then definitely Krishna will save us. And this is like a great benediction, only remembering Krishna, nothing else. It's like you see the spiritual world happening here only, you know, like that Sakshat, special mercy. So this theme comes many times in the life of devotees. Even in the material point of view, if somebody takes shelter of the Lord, Lord will protect. Lord will protect. In what way he'll protect, we don't know. We don't know. Even at least in the life of Arjuna, it happens once when he was going to Panchal. You know, like they ran from Varnavrat. They came and staying in this Brahmana's house where Bhima killed the Bakasur, if you remember. And later on, then another Brahmana comes and he describes this beautiful swayamvara of Draupadi happening in the Panchal. So when Mother Kunti hears all this, and all the Pandavas hears the beauty of Draupadi, so they were already inclined to go to that place. But they were not feeling very, you know, like open to the mother to tell, we want to go to the swayamvara. So Kunti Maharani as a mother, mothers are very sensitive. Immediately they understand the emotions and the thoughts of their children. Immediately she understood. So she said, okay, what I'm thinking, Yudhishthir, we have been living here for so long. And you know, we should not leave a place for so long. Anyway, now we're not getting much bhiksha here. And this Panchal Desh is very beautiful. People give a lot of charity there. And king is also very good. Why don't we move there? Yudhishthir said, I don't have any problem. Let's go. Let's ask these four of them. What about them? So they were also ready to go. So when they were walking towards Panchal, on the way, there was one Gandharva called Chitrarath. He was having some enjoyment with us, with the many ladies in the Ganga. And then he could not tolerate Pandavas coming there. He said, who are you? Why are you coming here? Don't come ahead. You can't come near the river in the night. Humans cannot come. Only we can come. Arjun said, this is Ganga. And you cannot put any conditions coming to Ganga. Anybody, anytime, anywhere can come to Ganga. And whom you are scaring us? You know, we are not some weak people. We can fight with you. And he didn't listen to this Gandharva, and Gandharva became very angry, and started shooting the arrows. So Arjuna gave the reply with different arrows, and ultimately he released the Agne Astra. And then Agne Astra actually brought this person down. Whom? Gandharva. Immediately fell down, Arjuna dragged him down, put in the feet of the Yudhishthira, and then his wife came, Kumbhinasi. She said, please, 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 leave my husband. And Yudhishthira said, okay, now if his wife is saying we have to release him. But actually then Gandharva actually revealed that I want to have friendship with all of you, and my friendship will be really, really useful for you, and I want to give you many gifts also. And then Arjuna asked, then why did you attack us if you know so many things about us? He said, I know you're all the fathers, you're the father of such great demigods, you're the sons of such great demigods, and you're the Guru Drona, and all the everything I know, your valor, your sense control. He said, the problem is that you people were walking in the night. And first of all, you're not married, and you don't have the, a Purohit, Brahmana in front of you. And actually, the reason why I got defeated, generally I never get defeated, because you follow the vow of Brahmacharya. And this vow brahmacharya is the greatest thing, he said. This is the greatest thing if somebody is following this. And if somebody else would have been there instead of your place, who is very attached to the lusty desires, then I would not have got defeated. I would not have got defeated. So then he actually tells that how, because you are following the path of virtue, you are always sense control, that's why you were saved. And he said, even if somebody has the attachments and sensual desires and all that, if he has the brahmana, a very pure brahmana in front of him, means if he takes shelter of that person, then also he'll be saved. So actually in all of our life, we can understand that how we are not that much sense control, we are not that much great, you know, we don't want to be great also that way, but at least like, you know, virtue's point of view. But if we have a connection, or we keep our Guru Maharaj or our great acharyas in front of us and we take shelter of them, then also, then only we will be saved from the, actually the attacks, of different attacks which happen from the various sides. So Pandavas in their life, if we see, they never gave up the virtues. And the epitome of this, you know, like very, very special pastime which comes in when they were in Vanvas, once when they were feeling thirsty, and Yudhishthira Maharaj told Nakul, just climb and see on the tree, where are some trees nearby, where are some, you know, which grow near water, or some birds nearby which are roaming around near water. So Nakul saw and he saw, you know, there is some, I think there is some pond here. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, go and find if some water is available. So he went and he actually saw that lake. All of us know that pastime actually. And then before drinking the water, only the sound came. First you have to answer my questions. He didn't listen to that voice and he just kept drinking the water and died. Then when he didn't come, Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Sahadev. Same thing happened with Sahadev. Then he sent Arjun. Same thing happened with Arjun. Then he sent Bhima. All four of them dead because they didn't listen to the voice and they drank the water without answering the question of Yaksha. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj comes and Yaksha says, see, all your four brothers have died. He said, nobody can kill my brothers. They're so powerful. Who are you? Tell me. He said, that we'll see later on, you know. He just didn't entertain him much about it. First you answer my question, otherwise same thing will happen to you. He said, okay, ask the questions. So actually, 124 questions Yaksha asked Yudhishthira Maharaj. And some of the questions are really very, very, very special. You know, very, very special. Like few I'll just tell you. Like he says, what is the greatest wealth? And he said, dhananam uttamam shrutam. Shastra gyan, actually. The knowledge of the scriptures is actually the greatest wealth. And labhanam shreya ayurogyam. You know, the greatest benefit is actually health. Because if you have health, then only you can do all other things also. And sukhanam tushtir uttamah. Sukha, the best happiness is actually santosh, satisfaction, which is very much lacking in today's time. Because the whole media, this whole game plan is not to, you know, make us satisfied, just to make us some kind of dissatisfaction bring in our life. So like that, he asks many questions. He says, if a person speaks the sweet words, what does he get? So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, if a person speaks sweet words, he gets everything. He can get everything in his life if he speaks sweet words. And then he says, one who does his work with lot of thoughts, what he gets? He gets everything. And who has friends, he's always happy. And then he says, panchame hani shasteva shakam suhagre. Yudhishthira Maharaj reveals this, that if person is living in his own village and he's getting food even just four or five days, but because he's living in his house, in his own, with his own families, and anani, he doesn't have the karja, debt on his head, then he actually happy. Not that you go to the big cities and there you have the debt of like 40 lakh, 50 lakh, and then you're away from the family. So he said this person is not happy even if he has everything of the world, actually. That's a very beautiful thing what he revealed. And then so many things were asked and that Yaksha became very happy. He said, okay, I'm very happy with your answers. Now you can tell me which one of your brother I will make alive. Whom you tell me? He said, please, you know, the Shyam, Varna, Arun, Nayan, Nakul should become alive. Yaksha got the shock of his life. He said, what are you talking about? Here Bhima is lying. He has the power of 10,000 elephants in his hands. Here Arjuna, whom you always depend, he can win everything. And you're not making any one of them, you're not telling me to alive, make them alive, any one of them. He said, no. धर्म एव हतोहंती धर्मो रक्षित रक्षतः. He said, if we have destroyed the religion, that religion will destroy us, that destroyed religion. And if we protect the religion, that religion will protect me. So from material calculation point of view, actually he should have told Arjuna or Bhima should become alive. But he had full faith in this principle that if I follow this dharma now, that I have two mothers, he said, and I want to follow the principle of mercy and equanimity, daya and samta. And I have two mothers, I want to see that both of my mothers remain, should have one son alive. So let Nakul be alive, that is the dharma now. And with this Yaksha became very happy. He said, you really in this difficult situation also never budge from your dharma, from your principles. I'm so happy, let all your brothers become alive. So immediate benefit if you see, like from material point of view also, if somebody want to follow the dharma from very nice point of view, always have faith that it will protect me in long run. He had all the four brothers and actually asked that, you can't be Yakshi, tell me who are you? And he said, I am actually your father, Dharmaraj. I want you to see how you are doing. So this things comes actually. The devotees become obsessed to follow the right path. And the materialistic people, they become obsessed to follow the wrong path. You know. So obsession will always be there. We can never deny the obsession. Because living entity by nature has to be obsessed. Because by nature is obsessed for Krishna. You know. This Anant Acharya, I'll come end with this pastime, beautiful pastime, just to purify myself. This Anant Acharya, very great devotee of Ramanujacharya, when Ramanujacharya had expressed the desire that somebody should go to Tirupati Balaji, which is called Pushmandap, where the Balaji should be worshipped with flowers. And that time it was all forest, nothing, nobody was living over there. But he was so obsessed to serve the Lord and his Guru Maharaj, he went there, he started making the garden and the pond and growing the flowers for the pleasure of Balaji. And later on, he made a pond, Ramanuja pond and Ramanuja garden like that he made. He wanted to make it big. So he was digging it and taking the mud out, you know. All of you must have heard this story, beautiful story actually. So he was taking the mud out and his wife was assisting him, taking this mud and throwing it at far distance. So Krishna thought, you know, my dear devotee has been working so hard for me. Let me assist them. And he came and approached Anant Acharya and he said, can I assist you? And he didn't allow him. He said, this is my service and I'll do it, you know. And you can just have your own fun. You're a small child, just play and this and that. He just didn't listen to him. He said, no, this is my service, I'll do it. So he was very obsessed to do his service. So he approached his wife. He said, Mata, Maya, you know, please understand, you know, like you people are tired, have been working so hard in such sunlight. And in that time, the wife was actually pregnant also. So he said, you are carrying a child also in your womb, I'll assist you. He said, no, just now my husband told you not to do. And he'll come to know if you help me now. So he'll chastise, you know, both of us then. He said, no, what we'll do, you bring the mud up to this place and then I'll take it and throw it that place. He will not see. He said, okay. So now Anant Acharya understood because now she was coming too fast. And then he actually ran after this boy because he was so obsessed to serve the Lord. And he said, why this boy is taking our service? So just to scare him, he was running. And he climbed the tree and then again the boy started telling, I will not do it, I will not do it. And he came down again. The Anant Acharya wanted to scare him and boy started running. And just to scare him, he threw that spade. But somehow it hit the chin of the boy. And boy ran into the altar and closed the door. And the door was not opening and the evening time pujari came and they somehow opened the door and there was no boy there. But there was some blood oozing out from the chin of the Lord. And immediately Anant Acharya fell down at the feet of the Lord and actually started begging forgiveness. And Lord became very happy. He said, we are very pleased with your devotion, with your love. And we give our own garments and some ornaments and all that. So these kind of pastimes are there in the scriptures or in the life of devotees, which at least give us the direction. Like this section in second chapter, 54 to 72, is Sthit Pragya. Like it's a section which we read. We can understand that where are we. We are certainly not on that platform. But at least we know the goal. Because child, if he learns to walk, he's tottering. And when he's tottering, he falls and again grows, again he gets up and slowly, slowly learns to walk. So there, Krishna gives the example of tortoise, that one has to withdraw the senses. So sthit pragya, what is his beauty is, that he can withdraw the senses whenever there is a problem. And he can release them whenever there is no problem. You know, in the sense, problem is in the sense of distractions. That is the main problem in this world. So our situation is like Ashwatthama, and sthit pragya situation is like Arjuna. Because Ashwatthama knew how to release the Brahmastra, but he didn't know how to take it back. And Arjuna actually took it back whenever it's required also. So, but the hope is that if we keep practicing the spiritual life, keep doing the all our sadhana, then we will start withdrawing also. Like when milk is mixed with water, we cannot take the milk out. But if the same milk is actually converted into the curd and churn and the butter comes out, now that butter, if we throw any kind of water, it can be taken out again. So this whole process of sadhana bhakti which we are trying to do is actually churning, and which will help us to take, which will help us to, you know, bring that butter, that Krishna prem to come out, and then actually we will be unaffected, whatever situation we are in. And then actually we can practice that we get the higher taste. Vishya vinivartante nirahārasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param dishtva nivartate. So this whole process we are doing so that we can develop that little bit of taste, so that we will not get distracted by the things of this world. And whatever situation comes, we can follow the path of dharma. So this is a few things I just collected from the devotees and scriptures. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.